Track 12, How the 12 Steps Impede Autonomy. On the last track, we discussed Step 1 and Denial. We also discussed the stress relief techniques Pushing the Right Button and Ritual for Release. On this track, we will talk about how the 12-step program can actually impede the addict's growth toward independence and a 13th step. Sound interesting? According to Tessina, author of The Real 13th Step, the 12 steps can impede autonomy. See where you stand regarding Tessina's ideas. Concerning step 1, admitting powerlessness. After the addict has admitted that he or she is powerless, he or she then needs to reclaim their power and take control of their life to increase independence and decrease dependence on 12-step groups. Regarding step 2, believing in a higher power. Relying solely on an outside force to help an addict stop his or her addiction and restore him or her to sanity, Tessina feels reinforces the kind of dependent behavior that made the addict keep his or her addiction in the first place. According to Tessina, as long as the addict goes through life believing that he or she is not powerful enough on his or her own to control his or her addictive behaviors, he or she will never feel confident enough to stand freely on their own two feet. Tessina feels his belief also becomes a convenient excuse for relapse, the addict stating, "God didn't help me." Regarding step 3, turning problems over to a higher power, according to Tessina, is at best a temporary expedient to assist the addict through a period where he or she has not yet developed the confidence and ability to face and solve problems him or herself. According to Tessina, it is more effective for an addict to consider that he or she has a partnership with his or her higher power. The addict can then cooperate with his or her higher power in an autonomous way, making decisions according to his or her spiritual or ethical precepts and values. Continuing to leave his or her sanity solely to the care of his or her higher power, according to Tessina, is an abdication of the addict's responsibility to think for him or herself. Therefore, plummets the addict back into denial. Regarding step 4, a searching and fearless moral inventory, while this step was created to help break the cycle of addiction and denial, in actual use, members and sponsors, according to Tessina, often focus exclusively on faults. Do you agree? As discussed on an earlier track, if an addict comes from a dysfunctional family, he or she may already carry a tendency to overemphasize his or her faults. To move beyond mere destructive behavior to the ability to evaluate oneself objectively and honestly, Tessina feels your client needs to include the positive in the step 4 moral inventory. Regarding step 5, like step 4, admitting the nature of wrongs to another human being, Tessina feels there is an overemphasis on the negative. Concentrating too much on the negative induces despair. Too much emphasis on the positive can become denial. Tessina feels independent, healthy self-evaluation requires keeping a balance. Do you agree? Regarding step 6 and the removal of defects, being willing to stop one's addiction and being willing to have someone else do it are two different things. According to Tessina, as long as the addict relies on a power other than him or herself to help overcome his or her flaws, he or she will remain dependent on both God and/or the group. Remaining dependent on God or the group leads the addict away from learning to depend on him or herself. Once again, Tessina suggests the alternative of accepting a higher power as a partner in the addict's quest to change his or her attitudes and behaviors, rather than an all-powerful source who has the sole power to remove all these defects of character. How do you feel about this? Regarding step 7 and asking for the removal of other shortcomings, the addict may not realize how much strength he or she has developed by taking this step and continuing to believe it has been all the work of a higher power. As long as only God or the group can remove your client's addiction, according to Tessina, he or she will believe that they need God or the group to keep him or her free of his or her addiction. Again, Tessina recommends a partnership with God that would work best. Regarding step 8, listing and making amends, the danger here, according to Tessina, is that the emphasis is once again on the negative and entirely on the harm your client has committed. Because many addicts have become victims of neglect and abuse as children, it is important to be able to acknowledge any harm that has been done to them. In order to have control of his or her life, the addict needs to be able to ask for amends when they are owed to the addict. Thus, Tessina feels it is imperative that the addict needs to address the harm done to him or her. This is a touchy one. Do you agree? How do you do this and not support and encourage your client's grandiosity? Regarding step 9 and making amends, Tessina feels by placing all emphasis on the addict in the amends-making process, this step reinforces the addict's old pattern of feeling that they have no control in the situation. Being autonomous or independent means learning to acknowledge the autonomy or independence of others. Only others know how much they feel the addict has harmed them and how the addict can best make amends. Healing relationships, as you know, require emotional awareness and competence. Tessina feels the addict can begin to respect the autonomy of others by first asking if they felt harmed or offended and find out what they think would make amends. Sound interesting? Regarding the step 10 personal inventory, because Tessina feels the 12-step program focuses on destructive behaviors that must be arrested, this inventory can become another list of problems and defects. According to Tessina, to move from recovery to health also requires an equal emphasis on admitting what the addict did right. Otherwise, if the addict does not learn to encourage and acknowledge his or her positive qualities, he or she remains dependent on others to validate which traits are worthy of praise. Because, according to Tessina, only the addict can truly judge what is best for him or her, this dependence can keep the addict from following his or her own best course. Regarding step 11, prayer and meditation. As in other steps, the focus on the will of the addict's higher power can play into the addict's tendency, according to Tessina, to depend on the will of something or someone else to help them through life and not on their own. Thus, step 11 can lead the addictive client to expect meditation to solve their problems without taking action. If the addict thinks about meditation in this way, he or she will never develop a will strong enough to make decisions and achieve goals and take action. Regarding step 12, practicing these principles in all affairs, having clients who have been in recovery continue their involvement in the program as sponsors, according to Tessina, can work against the development of the client's autonomy and independence in several ways. First, interactions with persons your client sponsors can replicate old toxic family patterns and become emotionally painful and damaging to both your client and the person he or she sponsors. Second, the member who your client sponsors is dysfunctional by definition and may have several emotional problems beyond your client's knowledge and scope. This can be damaging to your client's self-esteem and impede your client's emotional progress, according to Tessina. Third, the sponsoring process can put the sponsor in a powerful position emotionally, similar to that of relationships. Do you agree? Fourth, sponsoring and maintaining ongoing involvement in the program can be a way of avoiding the challenges of life on the outside. Fifth, as you are well aware, not every addict is emotionally suited to be a sponsor. The concept of giving back is too limited, according to Tessina, if it focuses solely on staying in the program. Tessina proposes a 13th step is needed that would emphasize your client's responsibility for him or herself, emotional self-awareness, independent thinking, and functional life skills. What do you think? On this track, we have talked about how the 12 steps can actually impede autonomy and the 13th step Tessina proposes. On the next track, we will talk about addictions to the program and the 5 reasons addicts become addicted to the program. Question 12. Regarding step 12, practicing principles in all affairs, having clients who have been in recovery continue their involvement in the program as sponsors, according to Tessina, can work against the development of clients' autonomy and independence in what 5 ways?